Let's sing "Have Faith in God." Will you together? Bless you tonight. I greet you in the name of the Lord. In case you don't remember who I am, I'm Brother Green, the pastor. God bless you. Good to be back among the living tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated together. Sister Green and I attended a wedding at 5:15 at our home tonight. David Statscliffe, that some of you folks may remember, 64 years old, brought a lovely young lady to the house tonight, and I allowed them to say their vows together, and it was good to see a couple stand before you and weep, you know, because they realized the seriousness of the matter. But I have to say it was good to see David and his bride is named Grace Alexander. It was good to see David. And I didn't realize he's 64 years old. Made me feel like an old man. How many folks remember David? You know, his father wrote the book, A Prophet Visits South Africa. Thank you, Johnny. Good to have you back too, Johnny. Appreciate your help. I had Johnny make an announcement last Sunday morning that the Lord willing I would be here Sunday night, and I felt that I had something I wanted to share with the congregation, and I still have that, and I want to bring it on Sunday so that we'll get more of them involved. So it motivated me, instead of having someone else preach, I felt led of the Lord, that I follow inside of me, to play or have you listen to the first 17, 16 pages of Feast of the Trumpets. Amen. Now, the Feast of the Trumpets is a message that I've always thought was very important for us, because Brother Branham makes some very factual statements in there that clarifies a lot of things that people want to misplace or put out of timing and so forth. And one of those is a statement he makes about the seventh seal, that it has not been opened yet. You know that is his coming. Now, that's stated in 65, or is it 64? 64, July the 18th, I think. So that's after the seals, that after the church ages. And to me, I've always said, you know, that Brother Branham said, if you're going to believe something and you can't take it from Genesis to Revelations, if you find one verse of Scripture that don't fit there, you got something out of place.
Amen.
And I've always felt that same way about the message, that if you want to talk about he is the son of David now.
Right.
Well, I know that now is out of place. That doesn't mean right now. That now belongs somewhere else or has a different meaning, because he's not the son of David now, or else we're in the millennium.
Right.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I have taken the attitude of the stand that I have through the years about some of the message. I just don't take what I call a firecracker statement. Hey, You know, you can have the Holy Ghost every day of your life and die and go to hell. Bow.
Right.
There's a meaning to that. Brother Robert Figueroa did a very excellent job of teaching us the balance on that. You know, you can have what people call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can speak in tongues. You can shout. You can be Pentecostal. You can have a holy life and all that. But, you know, you need to be baptized and have Christ in you.
Amen.
Or you'll go to hell.
Yes.
Now, that's what I call keeping our balance.
Yes.
You'll remember several months ago, at least I hope you do, that I brought to your attention where Daniel, when he was in exile, he'd been there 68 years, and he prayed unto the Lord, "Lord, I know that Jeremiah said 70 years. Now we got 2 years to go. What's going to happen? Lord, give me an answer to that." And God sent Gabriel to see that man. Well, I believe just as God did things in the past, he does things now.
Sure.
But if I were to come before you people and tell you that I had a visitation from Gabriel, there'd be a lot of you wondering, well, was Brother Green delirious, or did that antibiotic have an effect on him or something? But I think we need to get to where we start believing that God is going to deal with us. And I feel that I know for myself, I have tried to be as sincere and open and diligent about this as I can physically control myself to be, to allow myself to be in an atmosphere to where, if God does want to show me something or tell me something, and I try to listen to every little unction or read this or be there, or if I see something or I hear about it, I want to know, how does that fit? It's like I've often said, I don't think that God has people pass through my life, the turf of my life, just so I can know them.
Right.
I believe they are a predestinated seed that God's giving me an opportunity to have an influence on their life, or they can have one on mine.
Yes.
It's not just, hey, I met so-and-so. Well, why would God waste our time?
Right.
Well, I feel the same way about the things that we hear, that we read about, that somebody shares with us, experiences we have. And I can only tell you as a congregation that I believe God has shown me something. Now I know that when word of this gets out, it's going to be worse than the reputation that we obtained whenever they come along and said, "Perry Green don't believe the seven seals been fulfilled yet, or hadn't been revealed, hadn't been opened." Well, you folks know what I said about it. I tried to say everything Brother Branham said. When Brother Branham said he showed me six, but he didn't show me seven, I say that too. But you can't get everybody to say that. And I realize that when I start talking about the things that I feel the Lord has shown me right now, that it's going to put me in even a more spotlight of criticism. And it's like Brother John McFadden that loves me with all of his heart. He said, "Brother Green, I could get up and preach the same things you do and nobody would say anything about it. But because of who you are and where you are and how you're known, if you say it, it becomes controversial."
Right.
You folks understand that?
Sure.
And I want you to know, I appreciate you as a congregation in your faithfulness. But I want you, by the Spirit of God that's in your life, to read your Bible, pray,
amen,
listen to those tapes.
Yes.
And you let the Holy Ghost reveal to you what the truth is.
True.
All I can do is share with you my experience and my understanding of it. And I claim to have heard all the tapes. Maybe I don't remember everything about them. And I know I've read all the books that's been published, you know, the sermon books, the ones that have been printed by everybody that I can get my hands on. And I don't claim to know or remember everything. But when I hear somebody take something out of context,
yeah,
and try to make it say something and establish a doctrine on it, and first thing you know, they've got another group or another clan, another interpretation or another identification of it. it reminds me that Brother Branham said I'd find different interpretations of the message.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that those people are lost or undone or out of God's kingdom or mercy. But what I do hear Brother Branham say is that it's so important not to leave anything out and be sure don't to add anything.
Yes.
I mean, when they come to Brother Branham complimentary, well, Brother Branham, you know, you're qualified. You could write another Bible. He said, I can't do that. He said, that make me, because the word said, don't add to.
Right.
And that to me is a grave danger.
Yes,
well, but Brother Branham said this, and don't it imply this, or he was thinking that. And that's the problem I have with Volume 6 that Brother Owen has written now. I cannot get the brother to write the seventh seal, or the seals that Brother Branham preached, like Brother Branham preached them in 63. What they want to do is they want to take what Brother Branham said in the rapture and mighty God unveiled and come back and say, well, this is what Brother Branham meant by mixing it all in. And they even go back to, sirs, is this the time? Well, he said this and this. And it don't say what Brother Branham says on the seven seals. And that's the way, if that's the way God introduced it to us, that's the way it should be presented to the world out there that don't know anything about him.
Amen. True.
And I'm challenging them now to let's do Volume 6 the way Brother Branham preached it in 63. Then if you want to write another book and say what you think he meant by this and that, so well, then do that. But don't make that part of the supernatural series.
Right. Amen.
Because I think God has ordained that supernatural series as an introduction of Brother Branham to the people of the world out there. And you don't come along and introduce them with your advanced theological interpretation and revelation that you even tell me that the reason I don't understand the way you do it is because I don't have a revelation.
Come on.
Well, if me wanting to understand it don't have the revelation you have, well, then how do you expect strangers out there to get it?
Yeah, really.
So this challenges me. And since I've been ill this time, and what happened is I've had a relapse on the pneumonia, and this time it went into the right lung. And I went a week without any treatment or anything but trying to get rest. And the doctor tells me what you need, Perry, is rest. Well, how do you rest a lung when you use it every 5 seconds?
Yeah.
And even what I'm doing tonight in talking, this is the most I've talked and the loudest I've talked in 3 weeks. But I finally called and got another round of antibiotics, and it did. It stopped it. And then I started coughing up the infection. Don't mean to be unpleasant on that, but I went to the drugstore to get something else, and they told me that they had a prescription there, and it was 5 days later that Dr. Rogers had called in another prescription. And whether it was a duplicate or whatever it was not, but I talked to the pharmacist about it, and he said, what I need to do is, if I'm still coughing, is to take another round of it. So I've just today finished my third round of the antibiotics. Now, Sister Rebecca can tell you what it is and what he's supposed to do and so forth and so on, but I do know that it stops it. But now I have to get rid of the inflammation that was in the lung. But while I've been like this and not able to talk, this thank you folks, you've let me rest and so forth, but it seems like the long distance calls have increased. Either people have heard that I was ill, and I made a mental note of it just in the office just now. But this week I've heard from and had an invitation to go to Alaska, the Yukon, Idaho, Genoa, Illinois, Brazil, Peru twice, which Brother Robert's going to go in June, and I think Israel's going to go with him. So let's put them on our prayer list. And I'm going to go to New Orleans in the end of July for a wedding, and I've told Brother John McFadden I will come to dedicate the church the middle of June in Philadelphia. But there's those seven places just this week that have invited me to come. And the brother from up at Alaska, Brother Frank Dutton, he was telling me about things going on. And I told him, I said, Brother, I tell you what, you sure do make this old man want to get up and go. I mean, just some of the things they tell me is happening here and there and yonder and all. And so my burden is there, but my responsibility stays here to be honest with God and what I've asked him to do. So I don't want to get off of that track. Now, just for the review, if you remember, I think the last sermon I brought to you that I told you I was going to do is I dealt with the last century, the 20th century, which to me has been the vilest, the darkest century in the history of mankind. I told you that there's been 178 million human beings killed by other human beings. And all the violence, the two world wars, Korea, Vietnam, the wars we're involved in right now. And I gave that as evidence that I believe that, just as Brother Branham taught, that it's the darkest just before the daybreak.
Amen.
And I promised you that the next sermon, or I had told you the next sermon would be, that since it's also been the vilest and the darkest, it's also been one of the most supernatural. Starting with Azusa Street.
Yes.
And with the ministry of Brother Branham and the awakening of divine healing and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the charismatic movement and the worship and the revivalists broke out in the Far East and all. I believe that we're in a time slot here that I don't see God being able to put it off. Israel being home. The sons of Ishmael against the sons of Isaac, even threatening to wipe them off of the map. If they were to wipe Israel off the map, Bible prophecy set back thousands of years. And we don't have time for that. And I do believe the Bible is true. And if Satan could do away with the Jews or Israel or their return home now, well, he's interrupted God's plan, and he's not going to do that. And what we see even about this Pope that just went to Jerusalem, and I'll get into that, the Lord willing, more Sunday morning. But I had a thought this week that I never had before. But it talks about this generation shall not pass away. Well, you know, in the College of Cardinals, they're active until they're 80 years old. Well, most of the time the popes are elected from the College of Cardinals.
Yeah.
And Pope John the 23rd, remember, he was a Polish man. And now he served for about 23 or 27 years, about the longest any popes ever served in modern time. And everybody loved him, and he traveled so wide. And so I'm sorry, Pope Paul the 6th he was. But now we've got a pope, and he's from Germany. And everybody agrees that he's the most intelligent, the most widely read, the most knowledgeable pope that's ever held the office. In fact, he was such an authority on the law of the church that he was the one that advised the pope on policy and church doctrine. When you go back to the Vatican Council II, whenever after 1,700 years, the Roman Catholic Church made a drastic reversal and change and said that the Jews were not responsible for the death of Jesus Christ, which before, and it was the Catholic Church, had always called them Christ killers.
Yeah.
And they were prejudiced, but it was this current pope we have that wrote those resolutions and things back in the 60s that changed the whole attitude of the Catholic Church toward the Jews. Now that he's 82 years old, and he just went to Jerusalem. And I'm not going to share all the details tonight because that's not what it's about. It would be very easy to talk for 4 or 5 hours about what I have. And I tell you, if I had the strength, I would announce now that Sunday I'm going to preach about 5 hours. Because I just got to get this off of my chest, because it's there and it's coming. And every one of these things I mentioned, there's details about that was of interest to me, and I think it would be to you also. And don't laugh about it. Brother Brown preached a six-hour sermon one time. I have preached a seven-and-a-half-hour sermon one time in Brazil. But this Pope, being the age he is, when he went to Jerusalem, he didn't just go to Jerusalem. He went to the other Arab countries. He's the first one went to Jordan. He's the first one went to talk to the Arabs and the Muslims. And when he left there, there was an eclipse of the moon.
Yeah.
Now Brother Bram said that beforehand that was a significant thing. It's a significant one now. And as I thought about it, it came to me that, and I read some things about him, that he was in Germany during the Holocaust. He was a young boy, 9, 10, 11 years old. And his generation in the Catholic Church would be the last generation that the Pope can stand up and say, I remember, I saw. There won't be another one after him that can say, well, yeah, I was there. I was a witness. I saw that. Now, he wasn't old enough to be responsible for it, but he was part of the Hitler Youth Movement, the Brown Church, the young people. But that generation has passed.
Right.
And I remember Brother Bram said that there'll be a Pope wait till one comes out of America. Well, it's already being talked about that there'll never be another European Pope. The majority of the popes came from Italy. And then they reached out there and they got one from Poland. And now they've got one from Germany. But you see, the membership of the Catholic Church has moved down to Africa and Central and South America. And there's enough people that are Roman Catholics now that the next pope will probably be elected from one of the cardinals in Latin or South America or Africa. But we as bride, we've got a little bit of a inclination over here, maybe an American. Maybe out of America. And that would be because of the wealth. The diocese in St. Louis, where Justin Regali has become now the archbishop and the cardinal, and then the one in Chicago and New York, they're very successful. They're very wealthy. And if it hadn't have been for this abuse thing of the priest with the young boys, America would be much stronger in the Catholic Church than it is now. It was almost like that put the brakes on things for a while. But thinking of this Pope, him being the last one, I believe there's a significance of that for us to look at.
Amen.
And so, as I look at all these things and I put them together, and this being the end of the 6,000-year cycle, the 20th century, it being the most violent, and yet us having the greatest of a revelation, us knowing that Brother Bram said the rapture is past due, and then the greatest sign is that the Jews are gathered back in Israel.
Right.
Until for the first time in thousands of years, more Jews live in Israel than do in America. There's about 18 million of them in the world, and a little over six million of them live in Israel. Well, there's never been that way before. There's always been a majority in America, counting Russia or someplace like that, or Europe, but they've been gathered together. Now, when you start thinking about that, well, Brother Branham makes a statement, and you'll hear it on his tape tonight, that the Jews are gathered together under the sixth trumpet. He says, the sixth trumpet is the same thing to the Jews that the seventh seal is to the bride.
Come on. Yes.
Well, that got my attention.
Yes, sir.
You know, whenever Brother Brown preached the church ages, he he talked about, well, you know, he didn't talk about things in the future. He went back talking about Paul and Irenaeus and Columbia and Luther and Wesley and those things, and then up to himself. Most of the things he preached about in the church ages was past. When he got to the seals, he preached about the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the gray horse, or the pale horse, and what'd he do? Most of that was already past.
Yeah.
We're looking for this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. No, well, it's already past.
Yes. Amen.
Then he come along and said the fifth and sixth seal was the Jews.
Yes, yes.
The souls under the altar.
Right.
And Brother Bram said that was those killed in the Holocaust. But then he says in the sixth under the sixth seal, all of the trumpets sound. Well, now, here we are as a group of people believe we're the bride, and we hear Brother Branham on his tape say that he wanted to preach the trumpets, he wanted to preach the trumpets, but he said, I found out it has nothing to do with us, so I'm not going to preach it.
Right.
So most people have taken the Feast of the Trumpets and put them aside. But if you go to Leviticus 23 and you see the Feast of the Tabernacles, and it gives the exact days and everything when they're supposed to be and all, and then when you hear Brother Branham on his tape, Feast of the Trumpets, he even talks about, well, you know, there's a long space between the atonement and the resurrection. And he spreads that out and he types it to the church ages.
Right. Yes.
Well, a few years ago, whenever the Russian incident happened of Chernobyl, it came to my attention and others that the word in the Russian Bible was wormwood. And that's where it happened. And I wondered then, well, now that's the third trumpet. You know, that wormwood destroyed. And we call it Chernobyl. Well, this time when I began to think about these things, well, I went back and I said, well, now if there's a possibility that third trumpet wormwood was Chernobyl, then what was the second trumpet? And what was the first trumpet? And then I began to see, if you'll read what the trumpets are, and I'm going to ask you as a church to do that. You know, you read up through Revelations 6 and 7, and then 8, 9, 10, and 11, you get the trumpets all mixed in there. And the first trumpet sounds, and the second trumpet sounds, and the third trumpet, and the fifth trumpet, and the sixth trumpet. And then it skips a chapter, and Revelations 10, 1 through 7 comes in there, and it makes a statement in 10, 7, that at the voice of the seventh angel begins to sound, then shall the mystery of God be finished. And people, because of the comment Brother Branham made and serves as this the time, they make Brother Branham that seventh angel in Revelation 10:7, which he was, but he also puts Moses and Elijah in there. Because what they did is they revealed the mystery of God. And what is the mystery of God? You look that up, Brother Branham says the mystery of God is, what did that voice boom out to Brother Branham in the canyon?
Yes.
Jesus Christ of the New Testament with Jehovah God of the Old Testament.
Amen.
They may not mean so much to you, but think what that means to the nation of Israel, the Jews.
Yes.
For the Jews to get a revelation,
yes,
that Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament.
Amen.
Sister Green looked on the internet, and somehow or another she found a book that entitled Shocked by the Bible. And she'd never done this before, but she sent off and got it. And as she read it this week, and I've never known her sit down and read a book like that through, and well, she was preaching to me every night. I mean, when it comes to Christmas and Easter and the Trinity, this is not message people wrote this book. But I mean, they'll tell you, that's not in the Bible.
Yeah.
That's not Christian. That's pagan.
Yeah, right.
That's heathenism.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Brother Brown gave us a very simple thing. If it's not in here,
amen,
it's heathenism.
Yes, yeah. It is.
or paganism. And I know there's people who say, well, that don't matter. And they have their Christmas lights and their Christmas trees. Well, man, this man, I mean, he took it all. I noticed on the back cover it, Bill O'Reilly with the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News, the leading cable show for the last 8 years. He said in there, you think you know your Bible? You don't know until you read this man's book.
Amen.
You're going to be shocked by it. And you know, people who said, oh, we're Christian. Well, that don't mean anything. But he says it does mean something.
Yes,
and look how simple it is. Brother Bram said that evil spirits travel in the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And they believe the Trinity doctrine.
Yep.
And then somebody comes along, and I want to ask these people who have left Tucson Time and other churches and going to these denominational churches, how can you go there and hear the Trinity doctrine and not be following an evil spirit? And that's where the influence comes in, that you don't think there's anything wrong with Christmas lights or Christmas trees or Easter eggs or Easter bunnies. Those are evil spirits.
Yes.
And you'll hear Brother Bram talk about on this tape, Feast of the Trumpets. He comes in and applies that. And I know now that I'm going to need to buy enough of those books for all of you to read them, just like you sisters are reading that one, Created to be a Helpmate. Because, hey, it's worth reading. You know, and it's non-message author. Janice told me, said, but he hadn't mentioned serpent seed. But when I read it, he found right in there, he's talking about, you know, an apple being a passion fruit. And he says, how applicable. Applicable, sorry. How applicable. You know, the world out there knows that it was sex. They know it was passion. Or they wouldn't use the advertisement, the bite out of the apple.
Sure.
Now, it wasn't an apple or a pear or pomegranate. It was the passion.
Yeah.
And he does have it in there, but he doesn't say it out plainly that Cain was of the evil one, but the Bible says it. So I'm telling you now that the world out there, they're about 40 years behind. But they're being told what you and I have already taught our children. And I think it's time that we understood that, listen, we say it's later than we think. But what if I stood here and told you that I think that most of the trumpets have already sounded? They happen underneath the sixth seal. And that answers a question. Brother Brown, I'm talking about the man with the spirit of Elijah. He said, now remember, this prophet's on earth at the time of these things. Well, that's the reason that some of the brothers said, well, Brother Brown's got to come back because this has got to happen, this has got to happen, this has got to happen. But what if it's already happened?
Right. Amen.
Now, when I started thinking about Chernobyl, possibility of wormwood and that being a third trumpet, I didn't have any trouble finding out that World War I, with all the artilleries and the bombs, that never had happened before, was the fire and the vapor and the smoke and the blood falling from heaven. Now that thought came to me. And then I looked at the second one. It takes about 1/3 of the ships were destroyed. Well, without even searching for it, I found out that during World War II, there was 105,127 ships and 36,387 of them were sunk. Now you do the math. 1/3 of them were sunk. The third one being Chernobyl. The fourth one, the days shortened. Well, now you could take that two ways. It could be the number of days, or it could actually be that the world is tilted different and there's a shortage of the length of each day. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
The fifth one was the smoke and the darkened air. And you know, I can remember that there were television preachers and different people wrote articles about it. But after the Gulf War, when Saddam Hussein set 700 of the major oil wells on fire, how it darkened the sky for that part of the earth. And I want to give you all the details there, but then as I had this and I wrote it down and I began to think about it, well then when that seventh trumpet opened, what was it? The mystery of God was filled. Not Revelations 10:7. But the Lord our God shall reign forever and ever and ever. And Brother Branham says that what happened under the seventh trumpet was the same thing that happened to the bride. And what was the mystery of God? The Jews get it. We all need that. It becomes a reality.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, folks, I think that we're right there.
Yes.
Too many signs, too many things happening. And then as I thought it and I wrote them down and dated them for myself, then I felt led to play this sermon for you last Sunday night, because I wasn't able to come to church and preach some of what I just said to you. But let's look at it like it is. And then I'm going to have Brother Brown preach to you for about 35, 40 minutes. Brother Branham, in the portion that you listened last Sunday night, on page 8, the second paragraph, he said, I'm going to show you why it's not profitable for the church for me to preach the trumpets now. On page 10, paragraph 5, he said, we're going to talk about the mysteries for the Jews under the trumpet and to the bride under the seals. On page 10, paragraph 8, he said, it's time for the prophet to be recognized as the Word of God manifested.
Amen.
Now, that's Mighty God Unveiled.
Yes, sir.
Do we understand that when Moses was speaking to the people under the anointing of God, he was God to those people?
Amen.
David was. Joseph was.
Sure.
Paul was. Brother Branham was. But they were pointing toward Christ, the ones after him pointing back to him.
Yeah.
But you don't substitute the prophet for God. You don't worship him. Page 12, paragraph 4, Brother Branham said the difference in our ideas and God's ideas is that we can have an idea and then we can improve on it or find out we're wrong. But he said God don't make no mistakes.
Amen.
When God says something, that's it. No better improvement, no greater revelation. That's it. Page 13, paragraph 7, he said, Jesus did not come to take people to the millennium. And you know, I guess I knew that, but I never had thought, you know, if Jesus had wanted to and it had been a plan of God when he came to earth, well, he could have done away with the Romans and everybody else. And right then he could take and took his people to the millennium.
Yeah, sure.
But that wasn't his plan. And he had certain things he was going to fulfill. And one of those was a promise that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I'll send you a prophet with the spirit of Elijah. You know what? You and I have lived to see that promise.
Yes.
Peter, Paul, James, John, the other church age measure before that, they didn't live to see that. But I, Perry Green, personally, got to see that.
Amen.
God visited my generation. I knew that prophet that had the spirit of Elijah on him, that fulfilled the word of God. And then tonight we want to start with page 17 of paragraph 2, and we'll go through about page 33. But in here you'll hear Brother Branham explain to us that a prophet is not only a seer to see the things now, but he's a foreteller. He can tell things in advance. On page 22, paragraph 2, is where Brother Branham makes a statement, and pay attention to this now, because he says the gathering of Israel is in the trumpets.
Yeah.
Now, when did that happen? The last century.
Sure.
Well, the trumpets have got to be being fulfilled, or we're in them now, because God's gathered Israel. He's not going to gather her again.
Right.
So the trumpets are not future. The trumpets are here now or past.
Yeah.
You folks follow me?
Amen.
then I think I'm on safe ground by saying this. Either this is not God gathering Israel now, or the trumpets are being fulfilled. In paragraph 4, is where he makes the statement, every trumpet sounds under the sixth seal. Well, that's 1 through 7. Then he goes into a little detail about comparing them with the feast of Leviticus 23. Now, Brother Branham talks about them being Leviticus 9. He said, no, not 9, 12, Leviticus 23. And if you're not familiar with them, why don't you read Leviticus 23? Why don't you read them? Then on page 23, paragraph 2, he says, the seventh trumpet is to Israel what the seventh seal is to the church.
Yes. Amen.
And paragraph 3, he said, Hitler was used by God with the persecution to gather the scattered Jews. Well, that's the first trumpet. That's the first trumpet. Page 24, Brother Branham explains how pagan Rome became papal Rome. On page 26, paragraph 2, he said, Christians, we need to take inventory every hour.
Yes.
I want you to pay particular attention to paragraph 4. He says, the Spirit is moving in me right now. You won't hear Brother Branham make a statement like that in any other tape. He said, right now, the Spirit's moving on me. And I don't know whether I should say this or not. Paragraph 5 is the one where he says, that's the next paragraph. He says, now the seventh seal has not opened yet. That is his coming.
Amen. Right.
Now he admits in paragraph 4 he's under an anointing. And in paragraph 5, he reminds us that the seventh seal has not been opened, been identified,
sure,
but not opened and fulfilled. Page 27, and this one, I thought of Brother Barry Coffey's sermon, the sin settlement of the sin question. He said, so many people want to perfect themselves. He said, listen, the blood of Jesus Christ perfects us.
Amen.
What can take away my sins? My goodness, my prayer, my fasting, my dressing, my doing this, my doing me, keeping this rule, me keeping the commandment, remember these. No. What can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood.
Amen.
And the blood takes them all. Drop of ink and a tub of bleach. And on page 33, paragraph 3, Brother Branham said, notice between the feast in Revelation, in Leviticus 23, the long period of time from Pentecost to the atonement. He talks about it being seven Sabbaths. And by the way, this coming Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. There have been 7 weeks since it. You know what? Maybe that's the reason I'm supposed to preach it Sunday. It hadn't dawned on me until just then. Revelation struck my heart. Seven Sabbaths. And Brother Branham uses that to show that, hey, there had to be seven church ages. The length of time, what? From Pentecost until now. From the atonement till now. And on page 34, paragraph 3, he said, the sixth seal is when persecution struck the Jews. And that was Hitler. Or World War I and then Hitler. And on page 35, paragraph 4, Brother Branham says, are you listening? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, let's hear Brother Branham say these things. Now, you've heard me point them out. Now, you listen to Brother Branham say them with his voice and his anointing, okay? Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, yes, only believe. Only believe, all things are possible. only believe. God bless you. Forgive me for being about 20 minutes longer than I wanted to be, but that's just a preacher in me. God bless you. You may be seated.
Now, these Acts, Malachi 4, and all this, and Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever, He remains forever the Word. The Word made manifest. That's exactly what He declared the prophets. A prophet doesn't only mean a seer, a foreteller. It means a revealer of the Word that's written in his own life. His own works reveals and vindicates the word of that day, like Noah building the ark, Moses down there, whatever, more than any prophet.
Amen.
The promised word for that hour. Now we know that He's with us.
Hallelujah.
We believe that. You see His word made manifest by photographs, by scriptures, by declarations in the heaven, on earth, everything else that He said, not one time has it failed.
Amen.
I ask any person to show me from the different parts of the country or over the world. You're obligated to write me and tell me where one time it ever failed. Perfect word by word. Now, that's a promise. Why was He to appear in this last days? If you go back and you tape listeners to the bride tree and bring up where Christ was, that tree that was in the Garden of Eden, the first Adam that fell, and this second Adam was cut down by sin. They hung Him on a Roman tree, and out of that come out the bride tree that He promised, that we see in the Scriptures. Now, in order to get the bride, like the pyramid, that comes in minority all the time, from the great wide, from Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and then the capstone in the top of it is so honed, and each one of those stones are so perfectly put together, and we don't know yet how they did it. But it's so perfectly put together in that pyramid. And we're not pyramid teaching now. We're just Enoch and them built it years ago. And it stands for a symbol, just the same as the sun rises and sets. Just the same as the tree drops its leaf, it comes back again. As the fish and the cattle and everything else symbolizes it. That pyramid stands as a symbol. Go into the prophet's chamber and watch them seven steps. Where did the guard meet the challenge to bring the comer into the presence of the king at the top of the steps? Is in the seventh step. That shows that we've got to come again with that same spirit that was on John. He introduced the Messiah. He was greater than all the prophets. He introduced it, and we've got to come to a place again to something that's going to introduce the Messiah. And how will the Messiah, the people that's believing Him, Lord, unless they're constantly in the Word to know what He is? Daniel said, the wise shall know, but the foolish and unwise wouldn't know. They shall know their God. Now, how it shall appear in the last days is to bring the people back to the Word so that the bride will know her husband, know her mate. The revealed Word. That's why this has to happen. It wasn't in the Reformers. It wasn't Luther, Wesley, and the Pentecostals' name. Scripture says it wasn't. But it will come. That is His promise for this age. We're living in the age that His coming will be in. She must be identified in Him. Any woman must be identified with her husband. For the two are one. And Christ's bride has to be identified with Him, for the two are one, and He is the Word.
Amen.
Not the denomination, the Word. We are to be the children of the light, and the light is the Word, which is made light for this age. How do we know light? Except it comes from the Word. All right, the Word made flesh is the light of the age. When you see it, the Bible says so. Them people looking at Jesus there and said, well, this man, who is he? Well, he's born to illegitimate birth down there. Why, his father and mother is this, that, and the other, and all this there. But they didn't know Him. If they knew the Scriptures, they would have known Him. He said so.
Amen.
They said, we're Moses' disciples. They said, if you knew Moses, you'd know me. For Moses wrote of me. And still too blind to see it. See how humble? Away from all the crews and the denominations and the creeds and everything, God moved right in flesh. In the form of a man. A kinsman redeemer. She must be identified with him. We are invited to be the children of the light, that we walk in the light. I remember down in Kentucky here not long ago, I had a meeting. After I come out of the church, there was an old man standing with a lantern in his hand. He belonged to a church that don't believe in healing and so forth. He said, I differ with you, Brother Branham. I said, well, you got a right to do that. He said, you see, I will not accept anything unless I see it. I've got to see it right plain. I said, then did you ever see God? Right plain stand before you? Of course, he didn't believe in visions and things. He said, no. I said, then you're not a believer, sir. I couldn't talk to you. We see what God promises and hold to that. He said, how do you figure that? He said, come go home with me and talk tonight. I said, I can't, like to. Where do you live? He said, you go over this mountain here. I said, how you going to get there? You don't see your house. He said, well, there's a path runs up over the hill. I said, you don't see the path. He said, well, I got a lantern. I said, the lantern won't show the light right on the house. Oh, no. But that path will lead to the house. But that lantern will only show light for one step at a time. We'll walk in the light. The beautiful light. One step at a time. Or coming closer to him. Yeah, children of the light. Accept his word. Keep walking and watch more unfold. Don't leave it. Don't matter what anybody else says, stay right in that and just keep walking with it. Watch it unfold and reveal itself. The word is a seed. A seed in the right kind of ground will bring forth its kind. Notice Revelations 10, 1 to 7. All the mysteries are to be revealed to the bride by the messenger of the Laodicea church. Has anybody got a revised version Bible? If you have, you'll notice there where it said the angel, it's in parentheses, it says the eagle. A messenger to the Laodicea church. Revelations 10, 1 to 7. And he said that this, in that day, that he seen him come down and he eat up the little book. And there was, he took up 1 foot on land and one on the sea and swore by him that lives in ever and ever that time shall be no more. And when he did, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, John said he was about to write. He said, don't write it. See? And he sealed it. Now someone said, well, that's seven seals then, Brother Branham. That'll be revealed in the last days. Some great mystery how we get closer to God. No, sir. It can't be. Whosoever shall take one word from this Bible or add one word to it, his part will be taken in the book of life. What it is a revelation on what has been missed back there to bring to... It's already wrote here. It's in here. It's to reveal what already has been written.
Amen.
See, because you can't add one thing to it or take one word from it. The first chapter of the Bible in the beginning, Genesis, one woman didn't misbelieve it, but she just misinterpreted, let Satan misinterpret to her one word. Surely. See? And then from that caused all this trouble. And that was God speaking, God's word. And in the last chapter of Revelation, Jesus himself, the same God, said, whosoever shall take one word out or add one word to it. This is a complete revelation of Jesus Christ. And the seven seals had the mysteries hid of what it all was and supposed to open it in the last day at the Laodicean age at the end of time. Thanks be to God. That finishes the message to the church. That finishes it when they look back and see what has been and see where it's all brought up to. That finishes it, the age of the church. Now notice, the trumpets that we're speaking of is a call together for either a feast, for war, for a person, some sacred day, or something like that. Notice, you said for a person? Yeah, or for the year of Jubilee, the announcing of the coming of freedom, when they could go back. Now we could take a complete morning on just that one thing. But now getting into the trumpets, you got the background now of the seals and the church. Now we're going into the trumpet. The trumpet sounded, and the trumpet denotes either war or feast day, or if what it means is a gathering together of the people. The trumpet. Paul said, when the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who can prepare themselves for war or for peace or whatever it is? Who knows? You have to know what the trumpet sounds. Therefore, when the trumpet sounds, we see something in the earth today. There's a great trouble somewhere. Everybody knows it. Everybody's becoming erotic. The whole world is an erotical world. And we know there's something wrong. The Pentagon, everywhere, we know there's something wrong. Now, the only way you'll know what the trumpet sound is to look what the music sheet says. So, it's a great symphony. See? And beating like Peter and the wolf. See, when you, if the, and the composer has wrote the book, and the director must be in the same spirit of the composer. If he don't, he gives the wrong beat, and then the whole thing's out. That's what's the matter today. We got too many directors in the, not in the spirit of the composer. They say the denomination, well, we believe this, no matter what you say, the Bible is right. Beat it out according to the sheet music right here before. Then the great symphony of God's great act is playing out just right. Then we see the hour and where we're standing. Now, notice, the trumpet is to call together the people, assemble themselves together for something. Sometimes it denounced an important person, like in Joseph. They sounded the trumpet and Joseph was appearing, which is a symbol of the great trumpet that we speak of and get to after a while in Isaiah. That says when the great trumpet sounds, when that end sign will be lifted up there, and then there will come a time when the great trumpet will be sound and all the nations will gather to Jerusalem. That's when the millennium starts, the great trumpet. Now, this calling of the feast of the trumpets, the approaching of something. Notice Revelations 8. And 7, if you want to write it down. We notice the first trumpet, there scattered hail, blood, fire upon the earth. Just exactly with Exodus, when God was calling His people out of the Exodus. Now, the reason that these seven trumpets does not apply to this church in this age is because it's to Israel only. It's the calling of the gathering of the people. And now there's only one significance in here that I want you to get to in a few minutes. It's where you'll see why this doesn't apply to this age that we're living in, the seven trumpets. I know many people differ with that, but I know it's this. I don't, not because I'm saying you're saying it, because I didn't get it from myself. My thought is not my own. Ever what it is, it told me if it's wrong, then it's wrong. But I'm not telling it by my own. I'm telling it by what somebody else has said. That somebody else is a God that spoke to us and done all these things that He has done and appeared. See? So I know it's right. The gathering of Israel is the trumpets. The trumpets is to gather Israel. Notice, the very first trumpet sound, blood, fire, hail, and everything scattered the ground. See? What was He doing? Bringing Israel out of spiritual Egypt. See? Back into His homeland. Now let me say this right here, that every trumpet that blowed under the sixth seal. And we'll get to it in a few minutes where we caught the seal there. All the trumpets sounded under the sixth seal because the seventh seal there was silence. No one knew that was the minute or hour that Christ would come as He revealed it to us. But every trumpet sounded under the sixth seal under the persecution of the Jews. Notice, Revelation is now 8th and begin with the 7th verse. All was the calling out of Israel. Natural in Egypt, now it's a calling out of Israel in the spiritual sense. He was making them ready to come to the Feast of the Atonement. Notice, the Feast of the Trumpets was first, which was Pentecost. The Feast of the Atonement followed it, 50 days later. The Feast of the Atonement, read it here, we'll probably, if we have time, we'll refer to it and read to you out of the Bible here in Leviticus 12. Now, or Leviticus 23, rather, in Leviticus 16, we find that the first was the Feast of the Trumpets was the Atonement. And after it followed, Pentecost. Now, we find out the Feast of the Atonement followed the Feast of the Trumpets. Now, notice, the trumpet sounded, and that was to gather them together. Now, the first trumpet blowed, there was hail, blood, fire sprayed upon the earth, just exactly like it was in Egypt, making ready to call them to the Day of the Atonement. See, they rejected the true atonement. And this years has been lengthened out through here, has been the year of Pentecost. See? Now, The sounding for the Jews comes next. This has been the calling out of the church. Watch real close. Now, which afterwards he took them to the land of promise, which he will do the same thing, in which in symbol he takes the church to the land of promise. Remember, every trumpet sounded under the sixth seal, only then when it sounded. Notice, now, exactly the continuity of the scripture is exactly the same. Under the seventh trumpet is to Israel the same as the seventh seal was to the church. We find under the seventh seal that when these souls that was under the altar there that received robes, they were given robes. Not that they earned them because they were in the dispensation when God was still dealing with grace with the Gentiles, not Jews. Israel is saved as a nation. God deals with Israel as a nation. Gentiles is a people for His name, not a nation for His name. Israel. And when Hitler and them persecuted the Jews and did the things that they done under that, look, they, Stalin, Hitler, and all those dictators raised up, if we had the time which to rehearse it to some newcomers, but we went through it under that same age that there has been in Germany and all the other nations. Jews have scattered throughout all the land, but there has raised in the last 20 years a bitter persecution against the Jews. I've been out there at the old places where they burnt their bodies and cremated and used their ashes to fertilize the ground. Jewish children and women and everything, then they tried to deny it. Take them right out and show them where it was done. It's been a bitter persecution against Israel because it's been the time calling him now back to the atonement. He is still earning the atonement of a natural lamb. The real Lamb of God is the atonement, and he's rejected it, and the blood's been upon him ever since. Notice. Making ready the people. How perfect then the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal is. Perfectly together, the persecution of the Jews. Note, in Revelations, the 9th chapter and the 13th verse, notice real close, under the sixth trumpet, Revelations 9:13, under the sixth trumpet, note there was 200,000 horsemen that had been bound in the river of Euphrates was turned loose under the sixth trumpet. Now there's not 200,000 horsemen in the world. But there was 200,000 horsemen. Notice it. I want you to jot it down so you can read it. They wasn't natural horses. They breathed fire and they had breastplates of jasper and they had tails and the end of the tail looked like a serpent and a snake's head on the end of it stinging. See? It was spiritual horses. Spiritual devils, chargers.
Amen.
That have been bound in Euphrates all these years. Supernatural devils. What was it? The old Roman Empire being revived.
Amen.
The persecution of the Jews. They've been bound for nearly 2,000 years at the river Euphrates. Can't cross to the promise.
Amen.
A religious sect that was trying to get to the other side. Euphrates, you know, come to the Eden. But they were bound there. 200,000 devils of persecution. And notice what happens on that sixth trumpet. They were turned loose on the Jews. The persecution of the Jews. Supernatural devils. Nearly 2,000 years then loosed by Stalin, Hitler, upon the Jews. You say, well, that isn't Roman. It's the same spirit. They've done the same things they did to the Christians in the old pagan Roman days. Now watch the natural Israel and the spiritual church now as we separate it here. Turn loose on the Jews. You remember on the sixth seal how every one of those martyrs are calling according to the word of God, receive robes. Is given to them by the grace because they're blinded that they can't see the gospel, that this people might be called out of the Gentiles for the bride. They were given robes. The Bible says you earn that trumpet. Them Jews who absolutely is against Christ and everything, the reason they are is because the Bible said they're blinded.
Amen.
And they were blinded for your sake.
Amen.
And the just God knows that they would receive it. But they were made blind for your sake. The Bible said so. There's that Roman Empire bound there by what? The ecclesiastical powers. Which Rome, pagan Rome, become papal Rome. It was bound there in its traditions of Christian, what part of Christian and superstitions it had of Rome, putting together all these worship of women and all this other kind of stuff, and Christmas days and holidays and holy days and things. It's been bound by that tradition that it cannot let loose because it's against Christian principles. Still the same ungodly pagan spirit. And that spirit called into the nations of the world according to the prophecies of Ezekiel and the rest of them. And they were loosed upon the Jew who know nothing of the Spirit. There's your mysteries that's hidden in that seal there. Notice that we went through it. Now show this trumpet here, this last trumpet, what takes place. There they are. These trumpets are let loose on the Jews, don't you see? Not on the Gentiles. The Gentile, when them seals is open, is sealed away. Time is ended. The church is called. You remember the vision the other day? Remember the preview of it? How many remember Sunday before last? How there it was exactly come by. We seen it exactly. Seen that dirty, filthy thing come up called the church. Vulgarity is to the extreme. And that little bride of every nation, each one of them dressed like their nation they come from, just perfectly walking before the Lord. You know, there'll be a time sometime when they say, well, I thought the church is to go before the persecution. I thought this is a rapture. It's already passed and you knew it not. That's what he said about John one time, you know. He said, the scribes said Elias must first come. He said, he's already come. And even the disciples didn't know it. They'd done to him what they listed. The rapture will be the same way. In an hour, he promised to do that. He didn't promise to show Elias like that. But he promised to take the bride like that. In an hour that you think not, just a change in a moment of a twinkle of an eye, and be caught away, then you're left. Then that's the time. 2,000 years, this spirit through the Roman people, the Roman church, could not move. But that same spirit coming up first down there into Mussolini in Rome, the dictator. You know the 5-7 things you showed me in 33 would come to pass? 5 of them's already passed. Dr. Leigh Beale's writing a book on it there now. See? 5 things perfectly and just 2 more things to happen. Said it happened just before the coming. Here we are right at the end now, and look like that 6th thing's moving right up. See? Perfectly, exactly, even the wars and how they would happen exactly on the dot. Not one time did it miss. Listen, folks. We ought to take inventory every hour.
Amen.
You don't know where we're standing. Real close. Now, he loosed upon under that 6th seal these 200,000 spiritual demons. Started in Rome, Germany, Hitler. No joke in the Bible where they received. Never, they received power as kings, but wasn't crowned. A dictator is not a crowned king. Just received power as a king. Oh, the Spirit of God is moving through me now. You know, just saying something. I don't know how to say it and what to say, and maybe I better not. Notice, 200,000 demons turned loose upon those Jews. When they burned them, they crucified them. They put bubbles in their veins. They killed them till they had no more gas to kill them with. And they shot them till they had no more bullets to shoot with. And they done everything they could do. And they cremated their bodies and everything and hung on fences, children and all. Innocent people, because they were Jews. They were done that way. But God said He gave each one of them a robe. Undeserving as it was, but His grace to blind them so that we could see the 7th seal hasn't opened yet, you know. That's His coming. So while they're still in there, but He shows us here in a preview of John. He took him up and one time walking on the sea. You know, he said, what about this man leans on your bosom? He said, what is it to you if he stays till I come? See, he never stayed, but He took him up and showed him the things that happened till he come. Just showed him, reviewed the whole plan too, John. Notice, we find now that natural power under the natural to a natural nation, Israel, was loosed there. And what did it? It went and made war, and how it murdered and persecuted. Now, in the ecclesiastical realm of it. I hope that God opens your eyes to this now. Because I realize this is not speaking to this church here. This tape goes worldwide. And I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but just to tell the truth. Now the ecclesiastical realm has been opened from the natural revival of the old pagan Rome went forth on those Jews, which has always been their enemy. The lion with teeth and everything is stomped down and broke out. The people, Rome, always been God's enemy. And it was turned loose in the same spirit by the dictators of the world because the religious system was still holding. Now it's been loosed. What has it done? In the cunningness, as he said, he come in like flatteries. And what has he done? He's bringing the Protestant Ecumenical Council of the world churches, the spirit of Antichrist upon both of them, bringing them to the slaughter, just like they did the other. In the hour to call the bride. How? Loosed in the ecclesiastical church spirit. Loosed upon what? Not upon the denominations, upon the bride. But here you get it, the bride will not go through that time. Amen. The Bible says not. Amen. The church will, but not the bride, can't you see? Amen. Ministers, can't you see that, brethren? He said the church has to go through the persecution for the perfection of it. The blood of Jesus Christ perfects the bride. A man who chooses a wife don't put her through a lot of punishment. He's already found grace with her. She's found grace with him. He engages to her. And if there's anything, he'll keep her from ever place to turn her hand. His grace is so great upon him. So will it be upon the bride, and so is it on the bride. We unworthy creatures, deserving of hell. But his grace holds us to it. Look at how many lost and blind. How many sinners was in the world the hour I got saved? God saved me for a purpose. And I'm determined by his will to do that purpose. I don't care what anything else goes. I want to do it.
Hallelujah.
And in the hour when I see all the churches, their great glamour, rich and have need of nothing, they say, and see the miserable, wretched, blind, and patting you on the shoulders, want you to compromise with them, I was born for a purpose. That's to condemn that thing. And hold on. Yes, I do. Remember when Jesus came on the earth, there wasn't 1/100th of the people on the earth ever knew he was here. He come to get that elected group. Said, no man can come to me except my Father has drawn him. And all the Father hath, past tense, given me, they'll come.
Amen.
They'll know it. They'll hear it. Notice the loosing of this ecclesiastical spirit. Now, 20 years later, at that war, we see the loosing of the ecclesiastical spirit. What under? The seventh seal. The seventh trumpet to the Jew. Look at the moon darkening out. Where under? See, driving out the Son of Man being drove from the church. What is it? Joining in with the ecclesiastical bunch, the ecumenical move, and with the World Council of Churches has drove every man. What does that thing stand for? Why, you have to surrender all your evangelical teachings and things. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? They can't. Jesus said they can't. And how can a church of Methodists and Baptists walk together? How can the Church of Christ walk with the Presbyterians? How can the Catholic walk with a Protestant?
Amen.
How can Protestant walk with Protestant? But the bride can walk with the Word, which is Christ. It must be an agreement.
Amen.
Not the ecclesiastical system, but the Word. You have to agree with the Word to walk with the Word. Jesus said so. That makes it right. Notice, there she is. Now she's loose to call all these little loose ends. Oh, well, don't make any difference anyhow. That's what Satan said to Eve. Don't make any difference. It's all right. Surely God's a good God. He loves us all. He doesn't. Amen. You hear so much about being a good God. He is a good God. But being good, he has to be just.
Amen.
There is no goodness without justice.
Amen.
There is no justice without no law, without punishment, penalty. So we're in that hour that we're living. Notice quickly now, these supernatural demons, then under the auspices of a united nation, united groups together, Eastern and Western, just like the right and left foot of the image that Daniel saw, how they wouldn't agree and mix with one another. And the word Eisenhower during that time, Eisenhower means iron. Khrushchev means clay. And he pulled off his shoe and beat it on the desk at the when the League of Nations or at the UN. Khrushchev did. Dusting off the... Oh, my. The hour that we're living. The church in this condition. But thank God the little bride has made herself ready.
Oh,
it ain't long. Just hold on. I don't know how long. Don't know when. Nobody knows that. But we know it's close now. Watch the Ecclesiastes. Watch that natural, what it did to them Jews. That was a people that held to the laws of God. No matter how many churches raised up, what else? They was blinded to Christ and held to that law. God gave them robes, every one of them, because they went on in martyrdom. See? They were blinded for our sake. Here now, the church that knows nothing but the Bible, regardless of ecclesiastical system, denomination, they know nothing about it. It's all foreign to them. They know Him and Him alone. People today are somewhat like Peter and them was up on the Mount Transfiguration. They got all enthused when they seen the supernatural did. And one said, we'll make one church of the prophets and one to Moses. And that's where the people of the Pentecostals did. They said, we'll make one assembly of God and one church of God and one oneness and one two-ness and so forth like that. But while he was yet speaking, Jehovah cried out, this is my beloved Son. Who is the Word? Hear ye Him. He is the Word. The hour that we're living, the ecclesiasticals of spirits uniting together now and bring them all to this big one slaughter to blot out. It's already in writing here in this nation now. These churches have to be closed. Unless you're with the organization, it's a union, it's a boycott. It's like a mark of the beast. And now you see what the beast is, don't you? It's a power. And a power, ecclesiastical power. Jesus said, be so close like the real thing, you'd deceive the very elected if it was possible. But He promised to have something here for us in that day that we wouldn't be deceived. And that's the Word. And Christ to make it manifest to us. They're supernatural devils, unseen to the eye, but you can see what they're doing. Notice, while that group is riding, making themselves ready to stomp out everything that won't agree with them, there's another group being made ready after a while. Revelation 19. The next time the church is heard, she comes also, not upon exactly horses, but the Bible said he was on a white horse and the host of heaven was following him upon white horses.
Amen.
Isn't that right? While this group down here has got 2,000 bound at the river Euphrates and has been bound for 2,000 years. Also, that church has bound the Holy Ghost for nearly 2,000 years under martyrdom back there and under church ages. It's been bound, not at the river Euphrates, but at the door of creeds and dogmas that the Holy Spirit can't work in the church because of man-made systems. But she's going to be liberated. She's coming back. That's what the Bible said. And those two meet one another on the battlegrounds. Lucifer and Michael again, like in the beginning. They've been bound for 2,000 years almost. Almost 2,000 years, not exactly 2,000. Because the Romans kept on going, Titus in AD 96 and on down like that, killed the Jews, the Romans. Who was it killed the Jews? Who was Titus? The Roman general. The blood rolled out the gates down there up to the slaughtering women, children, and everything. Didn't Ezekiel 9 say to do that? Go through the midst of the city and set a mark upon the people who sigh and cry, the Holy Spirit, and the rest of them, the slaughtering man, come forth that had been bound. Hold them, until they went forth and slaughtered everything that was in there. Little women, children, babies, and everything else, they were all slaughtered. Exactly, here it is again, repeating itself. And here is that ecclesiastical system coming right back, smothering out, tramping out everything that's called God. Oh, they got their systems and organizations and denominations, but that don't have nothing to do with the Bible.
Amen.
They'll tell you quick they don't even believe in them. That's to say what the church says. It's what God says. That is the Word. The bride is with the words. They're one. How can they be one? When that Word that's wrote in there becomes in you and me, and the Word becomes one.
Amen.
That's exactly what He promised.
Praise
the Lord. Then God don't need an interpreter. They said, well, we interpret it like this. You've got no right to interpret nothing. God does His own interpretation. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Who interprets that? He said, a virgin shall conceive, and she did. They don't need any interpreter. It's already interpreted. God said, these things that happen in this day, and it is. They don't need no interpreter. It's interpreted itself. Oh my. Revelations 9:1. Under the fifth trumpet, their king, notice, Revelations 9:1 now, the king of this great group of 200,000 horses, they had a king over them. And if we notice, it was a fallen star. Why art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Oh, how Dr. Smith got that so scribbled up there, but it's all right. It wasn't for his hour, see. All right, was a bottomless pit. Their king was a king of the bottomless pit. Revelation 17:8. I wrote something down here. I'm just going to read it. You see here, Revelation 17:8. I want to see what it says here, because I don't know just how to hit this next. 17:8. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life of the life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast which was, which is not, and which yet is. See, was one pole. Dies, another one ascends. Beast which was, which is not, which is not, which is. Don't change its order. It's pope at the same time. Everything. Everything has to go in the same system. And it shall come or to the bottomless pits. And the Bible said here that the leader of these fellows was from the bottomless pits, and that was their king, and he sits with the triple crown. And joining the Protestants with him. Heard a Lutheran priest say the other day, said, a Lutheran preacher said, well, people ask me why I wear a collar. How can they tell me from the... Was you there? Yeah, wasn't that ridiculous? I almost felt like vomiting. Walked off the platform. They said, so there shouldn't be any difference. If Luther, you weren't Luther, hear that, he'd turn over in his grave. Say, you hypocrites, you don't belong in my ranks. But she wore skunt. There's no difference. There is a difference. Even difference in individual. God said, separate me and Paul and Barnabas. That's right. The word. Separate. God's a separator. Not a mixer, a separate. The church wants a good mixer today. They can let them wear bathing suits and shorts and everything else and get out and carry on like that. But God said, separate me. Separate yourself from the world. Revelations. We find out here that their king was from the bottomless pits. And the same one that went into perdition. In and out, went out. Notice in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, how perfect is the interpretation with the order, with the word, what we're trying to give. Now watch this note, the order. Now we notice, let's just turn and read that just for a moment. In Leviticus. Leviticus 23. Now notice this here. Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. Now, and we want not to miss this at all now, so we can get it just exactly the way the Lord's got it written here for us. I certainly can't find Leviticus and Exodus, can I? All right, Leviticus now. And the Lord, 23rd, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation. See? Ye shall do the servile work therein, but ye shall not offer offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now watch. Now notice. And the Lord spake Moses, saying, also in the tenth day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of an atonement. See? The atonement followed that. Watch now. The atonement followed the trumpet sound. See? How beautiful. See, the atonement day followed the trumpet. Now, the 50 days of the trumpets for us symbolized when the trumpet sounded at Pentecost, which was 50 days. Now, after this, the Jews rejected that. Now the trumpets is to call them back to that atonement. Amen. See? The atonement they rejected. And they rejected so our eyes could be open, theirs was closed. And during this time, these seals opened up and the trumpets blowed. And now in the blowing of the trumpets, just before the Messiah comes, because they've got to be in Palestine. And you remember, God had to harden Pharaoh's heart to run him out of Egypt. And he hardened Stalin, Mussolini, and all that to get him back into the promised land where the 144,000 is supposed to be. And now for the first time for thousands of years, 2,500 years, that Israel is a nation with its own flag on, army on, and considered in the UN. First time it's been. The oldest flag that ever flew on earth at this time flies again. Amen. The six-point star of David. He said he'd lift that ensign in the last days. When should be coming back? We're at the end. There's just no doubt about it. We're here. Notice. Now, quickly. Revelation 9, under the seventh trumpet, their king is from the bottomless pit. Now, Leviticus now. How perfect the interpretation is here with the word, because see, immediately following the Pentecostal Jubilee followed the day of an atonement, the order of the feast time. Between the Pentecostal feast to the atonement, the sound of the trumpets for the atonement was the Pentecostal feast, the long period of time. Look, there was a long period of time between the Pentecostal feast to the calling of the sounding of the trumpets, the trumpets to be sound. A long period of time. Frankly, it was 50 days from the feast of Pentecost to the feast of the atonement. It was 50 days. Now, 50 days is exactly 7 Sabbaths. And 7 Sabbaths is the 7 church years, church ages. Get it? See? Now the Jews has been blinded, waiting all this time while the Pentecostal first fruits has been poured out upon the church. And we've come down through the martyr ages and down through the reformer ages and now in the calling out age. 3 sections, same spirit, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, same one. See? But yeah. 7 church ages being 7 Sabbaths, exactly 7 Sabbaths from the Pentecostal Jubilee trumpet, Pentecostal Jubilee feast, until the waving of the sheaf, then the Pentecostal Jubilee, and then from the Jubilee to the Atonement is 7 Sabbaths, 50 days. And at the end of the 50 days is the Atonement is made. You get it? Now, and this has been a type that the church, when he's revealed himself as Son of God, has been revealing to the church in the baptism of the Holy Ghost down through the ages, and the Pentecostal ages, they just keep getting more and more. Justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now here's the calling out time. At the sixth seal, when it's opened, the persecution struck the Jews in a literal standpoint, and here comes the persecution to the church in the ecclesiastical standpoint, because the bride is already called.
Amen.
The Sabbaths are over. And ready for the Jews to be called where to? The Feast of Atonement. Oh, church, don't you see that? Called to the Feast of the Atonement. What? To recognize the Atonement. Not no more chickens and geese and what they've been doing. The Lamb of God. Slain from the foundation of the world. Israel's going to know that. Notice, here's a great thing. Look. Oh, my. The Holy Spirit has been bound by the denominations all these 2,000 years. We find out that it has. Now notice, the Sabbaths, 7 Sabbaths, they couldn't get all the way out. The Bible said, there will be a day that will be neither night or day. And all Scripture, Jesus said, must be fulfilled. Is that right? Say amen.
Amen.
The prophet said, there will be a day that can't be called day or night, but in the evening time it shall be light.
Amen.
What was it? The same sun that shines in the east is the same sun that shines in the west. Every time that sun comes up and goes across and sets, means your life. Little baby born, weak of a morning, about 8 o'clock he goes to school, 11:30 it's out of school, it's the heat of the day, then it begins to set to 50 years old, 60, 70, 80, 90, she sets over here and dies, only to come back the next day and say, there is a life, death, burial, resurrection.
Amen.
And notice, civilization has went with the sun. The oldest civilization we have is China. Anyone knows that? Where did the Holy Ghost fall? On the eastern country, on eastern people. And the gospel has traveled with the sun. It come from where? From over in the east into Germany, from Germany to England, across the channel three times. A Mediterranean into Germany, from the Mediterranean, from the east into Germany, through the Mediterranean, from Germany across the English Channel into England, from English Channel across the Pacific, over into, or the Atlantic, over into the United States, and now she's at the West Coast. She's crossed the nation, and she's civilized, and went across, and went on civilization travel, the Gospels travel with it, and they're all the riffraffs on the West Coast. Where everything had picked up like the tidal wave coming in. But the prophet said, the sun will not shine through this day. It'll be a day of gloom. They've had enough light like a real rainy day. They could join churches and believe the Lord and things like that. But he said, in the evening time, the clouds will move away. The denominations will fade in the same gospel, the same word made flesh. As he promised in Luke 17:33, the same gospel, the same thing would take place in the evening time, just when the shadows are going below. The same gospel, the same Christ that lived in flesh back under at the beginning on the eastern people shall live again in the western people at the end time. It shall be light in the evening time. All scriptures is given by inspiration and cannot be broken. The big 50 days is passed over. The Pentecostal feast has passed over, seven Sabbaths. Until the trumpets, a type of the seventh church age. Remember, under the sixth trumpet, the Jew... are you listening? Under the sixth trumpet, the Pentecostals reject the Bible. The lukewarm, not only Pentecostals, all the rest. The church world rejects Christ and he's put on the outside. And in the same trumpet, and the same seal rather, when it was open, to show Jesus on the outside of the church, trying to get back in, at the same time the trumpet sound for the Jews, and the Jews recognize the atonement. Glory! Hallelujah!
We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk wherever dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Let me encourage you that if you have this sermon at home, to take it and read it. And there's three places in there where Brother Branham is talking about the sixth trumpet and the sixth seal. And he interchanges the words.
Right.
Now, I'm not correcting Brother Branham, but I want you to look at it, because he'll say it in this paragraph, he'll call it the trumpet. When he's referring to the Jews, it's a trumpet.
Yes.
When he's talking about the Gentiles, there's a couple of places where Brother Branham talks about the Jews getting their white robes, and Brother Branham talks about under the sixth seal, but it's the fifth seal. Now, I don't think we're correct in Brother Branham. That's not my purpose. But you see, when you and I are talking about reading one thing, but if you go out there and start trying to explain it to somebody else, you need to have it the way the Scripture says it.
Amen.
You understand it? The souls under the altar were the fifth seal. The sixth seal was these trumpets.
Right.
Now, Brother Branham, at the beginning is, he talks about, it's not to this age. But then looks as he goes into the sermon. He's the one who brings in Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini. That starts the persecution. And he talks about the increased persecution the last 20 years. But I want you to know now, folks, that's been almost 80 years. That has happened. And if Brother Branham can say, we're close. The days are here. We're there. And he said that 60 years ago. How close are we tonight? Let me give you one more piece of advice. Brother Branham says we need to take inventory every hour.
Amen.
Where do you stand tonight?
if the Lord were to call it all to a halt tonight, where would you stand with God? Let's stand and sing, "We'll Walk in the Light."
We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Now, I'm not telling you that you have to understand each one of these things, but I think you should have enough interest that you'd make yourself your personal note or chart, and you'd put down there each trumpet, and each time Brother Bram says it or you hear something, you feel like, well, that could apply there, that could apply there. And I think you'll see a picture that will sort of stir your heart.
Amen.
Because it's just that far gone.
Yes.
You say amen?
Amen.
Sunday morning, the Lord willing, I'd like to go into greater detail about it. For example, check me out. Help me with it. The thing I say about Chernobyl and Wormwood, is there a possibility?
Yes.
What about one-third of the ships being destroyed? Isn't that a strange fact to have in the Bible? And then to become aware of it during World War II, there was one-third of the ships destroyed. You know, it's like Jesus when he was in the temple or the synagogue in Nazareth, and they gave him Isaiah to read, and he sat down and he said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled."
Yes.
That's sort of the way I do when these things come across, you know. And I said, "Look, this day, this scripture is fulfilled." Here, right at the end of it, Brother Bram talking about the Roman spirit and everything else. He said, "Where did it start? Titus was a Roman. What was Mussolini? What was Hitler?"
Amen.
He said, same spirit. There's all Roman Catholics.
Yes. True.
Do you see any light? Does it, like he talked about the old man that couldn't have any faith in anything, but does a little bit of light shine on the path and you see, well, yeah, there it is. And you walk in there, yeah, there it is. And you know, finally, folks, we're going to be home. I can't hold the lantern up here at night, and you said, "You see the end?" But I see this step.
Yes.
And I see that step.
Amen.
And you know what you need to do? You need to talk to your kids about this. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your friends. Talk to each other. And see how many clues you can uncover. It's not a game we're playing. This is life.
Yes.
This is the plan of God. It's prophesied in the Scriptures. Scriptures being fulfilled. And I want to see it as we walk in the light. What a day that'll be.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes will be, there's coming a day, hallelujah. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look, takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
Amen.
You know, I appreciate God letting me be part of this message.
Just, yes. Yes. Amen.
You know, we sometimes are just not grateful enough. Look where we'd be, though. Somebody said to me here a year or so ago, "Well, I know people that's better Christians than you people are." I told him, I said, "I don't doubt that a bit.
Amen.
Don't doubt that a bit, but you know, you got to walk in the light. And you got to know who Jesus is. I mean, you may be able to keep the commandments and be a wonderful, kind, gentle person, you know, and everybody love you. But if you don't know God, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And then think of the value of a soul, 10,000 worlds. Let's talk to our families. Let's pray one for another. Let's draw nigh to God ourselves. Amen. Enjoyed being with you tonight. You got two sermons, really, you know. We've got one more of these to go, and it'll either be Sunday night or Wednesday night. But Sunday morning, I want to go into detail of this 20th century we've lived in. Talk about the mighty things that God has done. Yeah. You know, when I went to the Soviet Union in November of 77, and I spoke in that Baptist church in Moscow for 20 minutes with an interpreter, so there's only about 10 minutes. When I stood at the back door and the people came out, the question I got asked most that I remembered was, do you mean these things happened in the 20th century? They were not back in the Bible? You saw these things happen in your lifetime? You know, we've all seen God do some things. Maybe you don't realize it, but there are a lot of people that don't even know God is moving.
Yes,
by His Spirit.
Amen.
Moving in all the earth.
Yes.
Signs and wonders when God moveth. Move, O God, in me. Do you know that little chorus? God is moving by His Spirit. Moving in all the earth. Signs and wonders when God moveth. Move, O Lord, in me. Let's all of us just extend our hands and sing that one. Yes, God is moving by. Come, Lord Jesus, in every life. Moving in all the earth. Signs and wonders when God moveth. Move, O Lord, in me. I'm not asking you to extend it out to Him. I just want you to, if you really wanted something, how would you ask for it? God, come and move in me tonight. Yes, God is moving by His Spirit, moving in all. Signs and wonders when God moveth. Move, O Lord, in me. As Brother Wilson and Henry would say, move, O Lord, in, and again. Move, O Lord, and again. Yes, move, O Lord, in me. You know, if we become aware and we surrender that, when we ask God to do that, He does something inside of us. I told that couple this afternoon, I said, You know, we're not realizing, but we're not having a social thing, but I'm going to invite the presence of God to come in here. And he can do something in both of you's heart.
Amen.
And make you understand that you're not two, but one. And that's what I want tonight.
Yes.
I want the Spirit of God to do something in the heart and life of each one of you, to where it's not what God's doing with somebody out there, with me or with somebody, but God, move, O Lord, in me. That's your desire? Move, O Lord. Say it to yourself. Move, O Lord, in me. You believe He'd do that? If that's the desire of your heart, I'll tell each one of you, expect something to happen. My wife read me an email this afternoon. I didn't know that Brother Dale Knight was operated on, but he thanked the Lord for being with him. Does anybody know what Dale had done? Was it his shoulder? But he's okay now. Okay. And he said he thanked the Lord for being with him, but he did that. God did it because he believed that. But move, O Lord, in me. You know, I'd like for you to go through the rest of the week and Sunday. Every time you think about, if you're alone, move, O Lord, in me. You believe it's possible for God to do that for you? In your own life. Move, O Lord, in me. Every time you got a thought, He comes there. Move, O Lord, in me. You know, you can just think it. You can sing it. You can say it. You can hum it. And you know, it's like telling your wife you love her. You know, the time's going to come when you say, move, O Lord, in me. And you're going to feel that change. Something's going to take place. And we're all going to be able to tell it on each other. You may ask, well, Brother Green, how do I know it happened? Well, listen, let me tell you. If you're ever touched by God, you know it. I mean, even me, if you meet me, you don't forget that. But if you ever have that touch from God,
amen,
you're going to know He's moved. Huh? Lord God, thank You tonight for Your word and the prophet and the privilege to serve You tonight, Lord, and to come here and ask You to move in our hearts and for us to even have the faith to believe that You do, by Your grace, when we were unworthy, You reached down and revealed Yourself to all of us. And we truly say, Lord, move, O God, in us. Move in me, Lord. Not use us or make us something, but Lord, move in our lives. Help us to see ourselves as You see us. And the love that You had for us, that You perfect us by Your blood. Lord, I confess tonight that You're my personal Savior. You had no sin, You did no sin, You knew no sin, and You took my place. So I believe, Lord, that You can move in me. Move, O Lord, in me. You gonna remember this? For God is moving.
Amen.
I mean, He doesn't sleep. He doesn't have to stop and figure out and plan. He's already knows the end from the beginning. He's waiting on us to surrender to Him. So move, O God, in me. I'm not doing this for reputation. I think God's doing something for us. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy, Your love. We say it, people hear it, but Lord, we mean it tonight.
Amen.
With all of our hearts. God bless you and prosper you and supply your needs. Grant the desire of your heart as you delight yourself in Him. God willing, we'll see you Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Talk to your children. Talk to your families. Happy to say that Karen sent her mother an email this afternoon, and she was telling us that she'd gone to dinner, and she was sitting and looking at the mountains. And they're about 30 miles south of the Seven Mountains on Idaho-Montana border. I've explained to her where they are and told her to go up there and explain them to Richard Millard, and she's going to do that. But she concluded, and she signed her email. She says, "I'm back." Because she had been suffering. But she says, "I felt good today. I'm not hurting. I'm back."
Amen.
So thank the Lord for touching Karen. But her mother and I prayed, "Lord, you deal with her.
Yes.
You do unto her as you see fit." Because to know the truth and not live it is a very dangerous situation.
Yes.
So move, O Lord, in all of us.
Amen.
God bless you. As they play, you're dismissed tonight. Amen.